Wondering why you're reaching middle age and your belly fat seems to be like an unstoppable train?
Uh-oh, belly fat sounds like a rock band in the 70s. Here's their big hit called I Feel Bloated.
Well, there's some specific reasons why your body decides to put fat around your abdomen, and we're gonna talk about the causes and things that you can do about them.
And what's the big deal? Well, who cares if it's around my abdomen or if it's in my legs or my butt?
Right, so I'd say the first thing is, hey, if you don't care about your appearance, fine, good on you for being confident. But the fat that's around your organs, or that visceral fat, actually is linked to chronic disease. So
it's worse
diabetes, heart disease, mortality, so all of them. So that's a nice little segue. So really there's two kinds of belly fat. There's the belly fat that's inside of your skin, surrounding your organs.
Subcutaneous tissue.
Yeah, like usually it's in the 2 to 3 kilogram amount. That's how much we have. And that's what actually causes your belly to be firm and distended. It's not like the jiggly belly.
No.
It's like that hard, firm, protuberant abdomen. And our bodies preferentially put fat there.
Yeah.
Why do they do that?
Well, because it's readily available for use for energy. The whole point of fat is to store it for energy so that when you don't have food around you, you can break down that fatty acid.
Right. So our bodies are historically driven and programmed to save those very valuable calories for times of famine or food scarcity.
And do you know how you get rid of them? Where most of your fat goes, like once you break it down? You breathe it out. That's how you get rid of all the carbon. Right? You have fatty acids, you add oxygen, and then what you get is carbon dioxide, water, and energy.
Right.
And so most of the carbon you breathe out. Breathe out your fat, 80% of it.
Breathe out your fat. But the trouble is that despite being programmed this way, now we have an unlimited number of calories. So our body still thinks that calories are critical and that we can't get enough of them. Because I thought, well then, why can't our bodies be smart enough to say, hey, guess what, Brad, you had 500 calories too much today. Why don't you just pee it out?
Yeah.
We just can't do that. Our bodies are irreversibly programmed to save those calories, and that's where we store them. But as we get older, where we put the fat changes. So when you're younger, a lot of times the fat goes into subcutaneous areas, like your hips and your thighs, and
your
throughout
legs.
Your body, your legs, like a little bit, even your arms, a little bit around your organs. But as we get older, more of it goes not only around our organs, but also in the subcutaneous tissue around our abdomen. And there's really 5 causes.
Well, and that's a problem, right? The whole idea of the visceral fat is much more dangerous because it leads to insulin resistance.
It's metabolically active.
It's way more metabolically active.
Yeah.
And it leads to inflammation.
Yes.
And historically, it was a good thing to put it there because that fat is much more readily available.
Right, you break it down quicker, get your blood glucose up, fight
or flight. So it's a good thing to have this visceral fat as we aged 100,000 years ago.
Not anymore.
Back then.
You got to skip the dishes now or DoorDash or whatever.
Yeah.
You can get calories whenever you want.
Uber Eats, right? So it was a good thing.
I like that we mentioned all of them there.
Yeah, we had to stay.
We had to mention
Instacart.
Okay.
So it was a good thing back then. It's not a good thing now because this visceral fat is worse for you than fat in other parts of your body.
Right.
Just wanted to mention that.
No, I like that. Okay, so the top 5 reasons that we start to put more fat in our belly. So when you're 20, I feel like you can just eat whatever you want and just your metabolism so high. So number 1 is hormonal changes though. And this, if you go on social media, obviously in our channel, we've talked about it a lot, less about the testosterone side, but definitely the estrogen side. As we get older, our hormones often decrease. So with menopause, estrogen goes down. With men, their testosterone goes down. And often your thyroid function, your thyroid hormone goes down over time. And these all drive not only your metabolism, but also where fat is deposited.
I saw a cool thing about the thyroid hormone is like the volume button on your metabolism, right?
Yes.
More thyroid, you turn up your metabolism.
Right.
Low thyroid, your metabolism goes way down.
Right. So hormone changes is probably the first reason why more of the fat that you're accumulating is being deposited in and around your abdomen.
And we've seen this with some people who have endocrine or hormone disorders. Some of the signs of those disorders are this sort of rounded midsection is one of the signs or symptoms.
Like a hallmark.
See. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not the card. All right.
That.
Number two.
Sarcopenia.
Well, we've talked about sarcopenia before, that sort of obligatory muscle mass loss that happens to human beings as we age. Thanks a lot, okay?
And part of this is because of hormones.
Yeah.
Part of this is because your activity level goes down.
Yeah.
Right? So it's a whole
part
host
of it is just
aging.
It's just aging, right?
Yeah.
It's just the programming of your body is that muscle mass goes down as you age.
Right, so you have less muscle. Muscle is metabolically active tissue. This contributes to your basal metabolic rate. So this goes down. This is going to lead to increased calorie saving.
Yeah.
And those calories get deposited as fat around your abdomen.
Okay. The third one.
This stress and cortisol. Yeah, how much do we talk about stress and cortisol?
Stress and cortisol, which results from stress,
right,
is not good for you for many reasons, one of which is the fact that it encourages your body to store its fat around the viscera in the central part of your body, which, as we just said, is not good for you.
Right. Okay. Number four, disrupted sleep. Back to the pillars of health.
Maybe that's why the pillars of health works. One of the mechanisms is this sort of belly fat thing.
Yep. So disrupted sleep can lead to things like inflammation and altered cortisol. It also can actually reduce the amount of leptin that you have, which is a satiety hormone in your body. So again, you're going to have more calories than you need, and this preferentially deposits them around your abdomen as you get older.
Counterintuitive is it? Because you would think, well, you know what? If I sleep less, I'm moving more, I'm running around more, I should be losing weight.
Yeah.
You'd be wrong.
You'd be wrong.
Disrupted sleep is going to lead to increased weight and, unfortunately, a lot of it around the belly as we age.
Yeah. And number five is more generic one. It's more about lifestyle choices. And particularly as we get older, we have less what's called NEAT. So that's non-exercise activity thermogenesis.
It's not so neat, really.
So you're doing less, like standing, less fidgeting, less not walking for exercise, but just walking around. So you're spending more time on the couch or at your desk or whatever. As we get older, we do less of that.
Yeah.
So those calories are now turned into fat. And the other one is poor food choices.
Well, it happens.
Yeah. So highly processed food, highly sugary foods. Did you know that to convert protein to fat, 30% of those calories actually have to be burned in the process of converting protein to fat. And this is one of the reasons why people say, hey, you should have protein at every meal. You should have protein. You need to have adequate amounts of protein.
Yeah, and that's maybe why those high protein diets or ketogenic diets or carnivore diets can lead to weight loss, because almost a third of the energy you're taking in eating a protein goes back into digesting the protein.
Right, whereas refined sugars, easily made to fat, and then obviously fat is the easiest to make to fat.
Fat
it's already
is almost 0% of energy takes to convert fat to fat.
And I think that was actually the impetus for a lot of low-fat diets. You're like, listen, fat just easily becomes fat because it's already fat.
Yeah.
Maybe get rid of the fat.
Carbs, well, they're about like 5 to 10% of the energy goes back into digesting them, but...
Good studies to show ultra-low-fat diets are not better than any other things because of the fillers that they put back in them.
Yeah.
That's a totally separate note.
Okay,
so now you know the top five causes. But really why you're here is not, at the end of the day, you don't really care why it's there.
You
just want it to not accumulate or to go away, for Pete's sake.
Yeah. So can I just go do a bunch of sit-ups, a bunch of stomach crunches to get rid of my belly fat?
So that is a very good question, Paul. You're talking about a term called spot reduction.
Spot reduction, like you clean a carpet.
Right, so what I would say is sit-ups are really good for strengthening your abs, improving the endurance that you have for core abdominal activity, which I think are really good for you.
Helps your back.
It's good to have strong core.
Yeah.
Good for your balance, good for a host of things.
Won't that get rid of my belly fat?
No, it doesn't work like that. So the muscles of your abdomen, as they're doing exercise, they don't get to just say, hey, it would make more sense to me though, actually, now that we're not calorie scarce.
Yeah.
If somehow your muscles say, well, this fat's right here. Wouldn't that be easier?
It's my neighbor.
Like for transport costs and whatnot.
Why wouldn't I borrow a cup of sugar from my neighbor? Why don't I go across the road down the street?
So that's not true. So unfortunately, abdominal fat is actually very stubborn and often resistant to losing that kind of weight. So no, you can't do spot reduction. But what I would say is that if you thought you were aspiring for a six pack, everybody has a six pack. If you lose enough, fat over top of your abdomen, eventually there's a six pack under there in all of us.
I know. I feel like I aim for a six pack, but I get a keg.
Okay.
Or I aim for washboard abs, but I get a Maytag front loader down there.
Okay.
Try hard, but I just...
Okay, so what I would say is no to spot reduction. One, I think, that is key part to losing abdominal fat is you have to have a calorie deficit.
Well, that's an obvious one.
It seems obvious, but I would say... Sometimes I have people come to my office, they're like, you know what? Barely eat anything, and I'm not losing any weight. Yeah. So you need to have not just a calorie deficit. It's not just about stopping eating, because actually there are good studies to show that fasting changes your basal metabolic rate. It actually reduces your leptin. It does all sorts of things. It makes you actually more hungry, and then you rebound. And super fasting beyond just short periods of time for health benefits does not really work.
No, but I love the calorie reduction. I'm not going to dive into it today, but on a different video, it's the first law of thermodynamics.
Right.
Energy cannot be created or destroyed. Just change from one form to another.
Right.
Love that law of thermodynamics. Thank you very much. James Joule and Helmholtz, I think, were the two main guys that contributed to that. But in any case, You can't, biology is not allowed to break the law of physics just because it's a different arm of science.
Right, that's not allowed. In the calorie deficit, what I would say is eat more real food.
Yeah.
Eat more whole foods.
Yeah.
Eat a balance.
Yeah.
Get your
fiber on.
Get adequate fiber, adequate protein, a balance of fruits and vegetables, try to avoid the sugary snacks and the ultra processed foods, which you've talked about
and
before.
And the alcohol, you got to say it. That's another one that contributes to the belly fat.
Empty
too.
Calories. Okay, the other one is exercise. So when it comes to exercise, we talked a little bit about spot reduction, but exercise is a key part because it not only increases your muscles, and muscles are metabolically active.
Yeah, even just sitting there, because you have muscles, you're using up more energy.
Right, so your basal metabolic rate goes up because you have more muscles. So resistance training, as we get older, cannot be emphasized more in a safe setting. But yes, we all should be lifting weights a couple times a week. You don't have to be at the gym all the time.
You don't have to lift maximum weight. You can do lighter weight to long, more reps.
Right, and then some type of balanced cardio, not only for your heart fitness, because you do typically prolonged exercise and you burn more calories that way.
So it's really two types of exercise when you're going to the gym. You're thinking of your strength training, and you're also thinking of your aerobics.
Yep.
Next. Aerobics are hard for me. That's the first one I like to skip. Yeah. I'd rather just do the strength training myself. Personally.
Like aerobics class?
I'm not a big fan of the whole aerobics.
You don't like treadmill, you don't like the bike,
I don't mind.
What about telemarking, like cross country skiing?
I don't mind that, actually. Yeah. I haven't done it in 30 years, but downhill skiing I really enjoy. There's not a lot of aerobics to that. So anyways, two types of exercise, your strength training and your aerobics, get those on.
Yep. Okay, next, stress reduction.
Wow, that's the toughest one to do.
Yeah.
Trying to do all these things stresses me out.
Yeah, and because of time constraints. And so, you got to do your best. Identify the things that are stressors.
And world news these days.
Yeah, turn off the news.
Holy smokes. I don't remember a time ever in my life where the
news. My wife and I barely watch the news.
It's so stressful.
We're like dodo. We just put our heads in the sand and just try. It's too stressful. But yeah, try to identify your stressors. Do what you can, whether it's meditation, mindfulness. Find some things that you love. Spend time with people who are kind and thoughtful. You know, surround yourself with a team of stress reducers.
Watch talking with docs.
Okay, better sleep. Prioritizing your sleep has unlimited health benefits, and one of them is reducing fat and belly fat. Mm-hmm. So not only amount of sleep, but also have a regimen, have good sleep hygiene, have a good cold, dark, quiet room.
That's it.
Good Get your sleep 7 to 9 hours if you can.
No caffeine before you go to bed.
And then the last one, we've talked about this a lot, and most people are aware of it now, is
hormones.
Hormone replacement, if it's appropriate for you.
Yeah.
Not every person who's menopausal has to have hormones. It's worth having a discussion with your family doctor.
Yeah.
I would say also not every 70-year-old man who definitely has lower testosterone than he did when he was 30 has to have testosterone replacement, but discuss your personal situation, the risks and the benefits to consider. Obviously, if you have a thyroid issue, correctable problem
correctable endocrine abnormalities, that's obvious, which is super common, right?
Yeah, very
thyroid disorders. So very really, common. You know, you may or may not need to do something about your hormones, but look into it.
Right. So now you know, belly fat is super common.
Rhymes with smelly cat, Phoebe, the friends.
Smelly cat, what are they feeding you? Everybody!
Yes. So, but really common and really frustrating and really refractory to your intervention, despite feeling like you're doing your best. You're like, what the heck, my belly fat won't go away. You're not alone.
Yeah.
Leave a comment if you've got belly fat and it bugs you and what you're trying to do, what you've done that worked, that actually would be useful for us.
Why do you think they invented suspenders?
There you go. And if you like this video, please like it, subscribe to our channel, share it with someone who's battling the belly fat.
And remember, you are in charge of your own health.
We'll see you next time.